Welcome to Wednesday morning, Evan Bray. Great to have you here. As we move along, we, of course, spent a big chunk of time yesterday on the speech from the throne. We carried it live, King Charles III giving the speech from the throne, only the third time in Canadian history where a reigning monarch has done it. Queen Elizabeth II, his mother, did it twice, back in 57, again in 77, and then, of course, yesterday. So, in many ways, it's a piece of history. Now, I talked with a lot of people yesterday. After my show, I was at an event last night talking with people. People were pretty unaffected by it. They're like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the king isn't the biggest thing in my life. Others saying, you know what? I listened to it. I normally wouldn't. But the fact that the king was reading it, I thought, yeah, this is important. I listened to it. I felt like it was a bit boring, and many people are saying it's just kind of the delivery, how he delivered it wasn't the most, you know, enthusiastic. Then in terms of content, well, lots of people are saying, I guess the proof's going to be in the pudding. I mean, you can say all of these things. In 2021, we think about the throne speech in 2021 from the Liberals. There was a list of things that they were going to dig into. Here we are 4 years later, and that list still exists. It doesn't appear like we've really been able to chip away at that. So I wanted to bring someone in to give us their thoughts from the opposition standpoint. And anytime we can get Andrew Scheer on the show, I'm happy to do that. He, of course, is a member of Parliament for Regina Capel. He is the House Leader for the Conservatives. And I'm happy to have Andrew joining us live from his office in Ottawa today. Andrew, thanks for taking the call.
Always a pleasure, Evan. Good to chat.
So if you're giving it a grade, what grade are you giving the King's speech from the throne yesterday?
Well, you know, first of all, I do have to say that I did think it was a special moment in Canadian history to have the King of Canada. Our connection with the Commonwealth provides a distinct aspect of our Canadian identity. And I understand some people might have mixed views on the role of the monarchy today, but I did think it was a special moment. So I'm loath to criticize the speech itself, but I would say it would probably get a disqualification on part of it, because in high school or in university, if you plagiarize somebody, you usually just get your paper returned. The good parts of the speech were directly lifted from conservative platforms that Liberals have fought against. So, you know, taking the GST off of homes, some kind of messaging on getting projects built. Those are things that the Trudeau government and every Liberal MP voted against time and time again. One thing that really concerned me, though, was there was a section that had a headline and that said, you know, improving Canadian unity or building Canadian unity, and not even a single mention of Western Canada. Mm. And that, to me, jumped right off the page. You know, there's a lot of people in Western Canada who are frustrated and angry about what the federal government has done to our province, to Saskatchewan, to Alberta. And I thought that this was an opportunity for Mark Carney to say, okay, let's have a reset on the relationship. Let's try to address some of these regional concerns, and didn't even put the word Alberta, Saskatchewan, or Western Canada in the throne speech. I think that was not just a missed opportunity, but a massive blunder.
We talked about that on the show yesterday. I mean, the province of Quebec was mentioned, and its unique culture and identity, and of course the French language and all of that. I actually played a clip yesterday, Andrew, of the Queen from 1977, who mentioned the West and the West's unhappiness and feeling, you know, not supported by Ottawa. So she talked about national unity even back then. So feels a little bit like a missed opportunity there. Do you think that Mark Carney is taking this seriously? He's meeting with the premiers next week in Saskatoon. Do you think he is taking this issue of Western alienation seriously?
Well, it's really hard to say, because on some levels, you know, he's changed some of the rhetoric. The Trudeau government, the Trudeau Liberal version, was very anti-energy, anti-development. Mark Carney is saying some things that are a little bit more positive about it, but he's being very careful with his words. You know, he talks about being an energy superpower, but then when he's pressed on oil and gas specifically, he starts to really backpedal. You know, so if his idea of energy being an energy superpower is to do what the Trudeau government did, it was just subsidize whole bunch of businesses that so far haven't been able to be successful in providing that energy, not just to Canada, to the world. At the same time, preventing new oil and gas development, preventing new pipelines from being built, then we're going to continue to see Western Canada mistreated by the federal government. Mm-hmm. It's very important that the government commit to a few things. One of them is repealing Bill C-69, that's the No More Pipelines Bill, and repealing the shipping ban off the West Coast. Right now, the Canadian government prohibits any shipping of Western Canadian oil and gas off our West Coast to Asian markets. If Carney leaves those two pieces of legislation in place, we will not see an improvement in the energy sector in Alberta and Saskatchewan.
Andrew Scheer is my guest, House Leader for the Conservative Party, the official opposition. Does it make it tough, Andrew? Because you're right. There are a lot of times, and this we pointed this out during the election campaign, that the conservative speaking points, many of which we've been hearing for the last year plus, dovetailed into and in some ways were adopted by the Liberal campaign. And so in that speech from the throne yesterday, I checkmarked a number of things that I've heard Pierre Poilievre talk about. So is that make you optimistic? And does that lend itself to the Conservatives working more conciliatory with the Liberals to try and make those things happen?
Well, on the one level, yeah, sure. It's always positive if you think that the government's actually going to follow through with it and bring in good policies. I do have to tell you, it is just frustrating because some of those items that you just mentioned that were in the throne speech, Liberals fought against tooth and nail. And Mark Carney himself, remember, Mark Carney isn't just walking into this role with a completely blank slate in his history. He wrote a book called Values, where he demonized the oil and gas sector, where he praised carbon taxes. He set up this green fund when he was an investment banker moving his assets offshore to not pay Canadian taxes. All this net zero financing type stuff, like he is way out there on the extreme fringe of the radical environmentalist movement and has been extremely anti-energy his whole life. The same is true on things like taking the GST off of new homes. That's something Liberals fought against. So we see a lot of hypocrisy. I guess the proof will be in the pudding. You know, if they actually start backing up this new rhetoric with action, we will support when they bring forward our good ideas. If they're going to lift things out of our platform, obviously it's things we support. We believe it'll improve the lives of Canadians. We don't vote against Liberal bills just for the sake of it. If they take our ideas, put them into a piece of legislation, and it will provide lower costs for Canadians, lower taxes for Canadians, or new big energy projects, we will absolutely support that. Mm-hmm. So it's a real wait and see approach. The throne speech was yesterday. The first few pieces of government legislation will start to be introduced over the next couple of weeks. I think we'll have a better assessment of whether or not Mark Carney is serious about working collaboratively to provide that kind of common ground Canadian unity approach. But come September, come October, if he's not repealing some of these bad pieces of Liberal legislation, then I think we're going to be into just more of the same type of Trudeau Liberal policies, just with a different name and a different face on the Liberal masthead.
Andrew Scheer is my guest. I saw you on Question Period with Vashi Kapelos on the weekend, and one of the things you talked about is the Conservatives' willingness to work with the Liberal government when it comes to fighting for the strength of Canada against tariffs on the trade front with the United States. Do you think yesterday's speech from the throne being given by the King did anything to move the needle on the rhetoric from Trump?
Well, it's really hard to find out what the rhetoric is on the Canadian side of the border. You know, we've all learned some disturbing information about Mark Carney lying about tariffs. He, in the middle of the campaign, he said that he was going to retaliate with Canadian tariffs and he was going to raise $20 billion. So not only was he telling Canadians that he was going in there with his elbows up and fighting back, but he also said that he was going to use $20 billion from those tariffs to fund some of his platform. Now we find out in the middle of the election, he quietly dropped those tariffs, then went down to Donald Trump, the meeting in the Oval Office, didn't get a deal, Trump basically took credit for getting him elected, and Carney winked at the cameras. This is raising all kinds of questions. Did Mark Carney tell Donald Trump back in April that he was doing this? What was the rationale behind that? And why not come clean with Canadians and tell voters that during an election? So, you know, we're off to a pretty rocky start when we look at Carney's government. We had ministers saying things like there won't be a budget this spring. Carney's supposed to be the guy with the plan. Where is it? No, we're not going to have it till the fall now. We had Stephen Guilbeault saying that we don't need new pipelines. And then we have Mark Carney going down. Other countries have got a deal, the UK, China, lots of other countries are getting their tariffs removed or drastically reduced. Carney still hasn't done that. He promised he could fix this. He told Canadians he was the guy you hire in a crisis, and look, he won the election. So now it's about delivering those results. And so far, there's not a lot of encouraging signs that Mark Carney is actually going to be able to deliver on anything he promised in the election.
So, I mean, in fairness, we're early, right? This is just, I mean, the throne speech, you said it yourself, was just yesterday. What would you like to see the Liberal government bite into as its first, let's say, first three priorities?
Well, you know, they're telling us that they're going to repeal the carbon tax and legislation. I would really like to see, and I think all the steel workers at Evraz and all the manufacturers across the country would like to see the industrial carbon tax come off too. Our steel workers in Regina have to compete against American companies who don't have to pay that industrial carbon tax. So we're making our workers fight shorthanded, with one elbow tied behind their back, so to speak, when they go compete against their American counterparts. That makes no sense. We'd like to see that drop. We'd like to see the Liberal bills that reduced jail time and brought in easy bail. We'd like to see those laws repealed as well so that we can allow our police forces to get those dangerous and repeat offenders off the streets. And we'd like to see, I would certainly like to see the repeal of those anti-energy bills that I mentioned, Bill C-69 and Bill C-48. And you know what, I would also appreciate an apology. You know, when you look at what the Liberals did, they dumped their leader, and they pretended to adopt positions that they fought against for years. So they basically conceded that their crime bills were bad, that their carbon tax was bad, that the anti-energy bills were bad. It'd be nice if they just took some ownership for that and said, we concede that the Trudeau agenda was bad for Canada and we're sorry to Canadians. I'd love to see them start off this session with just ownership of their mistakes of the past.
Andrew Scheer is my guest, House Leader of the Conservative Party. We're almost out of time, Andrew, but I'm wondering, just before you joined us, we were having a good conversation, open lines, about the notion of a referendum. There is right now a petition going around. It's got about 4,000 signatures of people in the province that are frustrated enough with Ottawa, with the lack of respect and attention and priority on the West, that they feel the right course of action is to actually separate Saskatchewan as a province from Canada. You live in Saskatchewan. You represent this province at the federal level and have for many years. Your thoughts on what you're hearing and seeing?
Well, there's absolutely a great deal of frustration and anger because, again, a lot of the hardship that people in Saskatchewan, Alberta are suffering from come from the federal government. They don't come from external threats. They don't come from the weather or natural disasters, but it's government policies that have prevented them from earning a living or drastically reducing their quality of life. So I understand why people in Western Canada are so frustrated. My message to people who have that sentiment, who are wondering if Canada is still working for our two provinces, or even part of BC and part of Manitoba as well, is the easiest and the most likely successful path to address that is to elect a conservative government that can undo all those things. So my pitch, my appeal, my message would be work with the Conservative Party of Canada to either force the Liberals to undo these bad policies or prepare the conditions that we can be successful in the next election. There are a lot of people in Ontario and Atlantic Canada that are completely aligned with Western Canadians. They don't want to import Saudi oil into the New Brunswick refinery. We've got people in Ontario who work in the manufacturing sector producing heavy equipment for the oil sands and for mining. So there's a lot of people across the country that share our values as we have them in Western Canada and want us to stay in Canada to help get rid of Liberals for the good of all Canadians. And I believe that would be a very unifying day when we can do that. And, you know, to your point about the message that Queen Elizabeth had in the 70s versus the throne speech we just heard, this happens every time there's a Liberal government that stays in power too long. They consolidate power in Ottawa. They have a Ottawa knows best approach. And that's when we see separation talk grow in Western Canada, and for that matter, in Quebec. You know, the big resurgence of the Bloc Québécois came when Justin Trudeau was elected prime minister. So a conservative government is best for Canadian unity and can address those causes of that alienation.
On that note then, Andrew, and we are out of time, but in the absence of electing a conservative government, do you support Saskatchewan's separation from Canada?
I believe in a united Canada. I would like to see us fix the problems. I believe that it's fixable, and that's where I'm going to be concentrating my efforts. And I know we're running out of time, so I just want to say a big shout out to all the farmers who are out there seeding. I know it's a high stress, long day period of time in the year. And I just want to thank each and every one of them for the hard work they do to put food on our table and create so much economic activity for our province.
I can tell you a lot of those farmers taking a break from seeding in the north and central part of the province to fight fires. They're out there. These forest fires and wildfires we have in the province are definitely a big issue as well. Andrew, thank you for your time today. We appreciate you stopping by the show.
Thank you very much, Evan.
Andrew Scheer, who is the House Leader for the Conservative Party, his thoughts on yesterday's throne speech and what some priorities might be for the Liberals to bite into as this new session gets going. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.